1 Kings chapter 19, verses 13 and 14. Well, if you look at these two verses, and then look at 9 and 10, you'll say nothing has changed. You get the same question, and you get the same answer. So we're bound to say Elijah's cure, a repeat of the former experience. The same question and the same answer. What are you doing here, Elijah? I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. 1 Kings 19, 13 to 14. What can we say about this? Well, I will say this. When people are, believers are, spiritually depressed, it's very common that they keep going back over the same ground. However much is said to them, whatever is said to them, they seem to get in a rut, in a tram line. When I say they, I'll speak for myself. When we're low, we seem to get into this deep rut which we can't break out of. We get the same answers. We give the same answers to the same questions. It seems that we're learning nothing. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his writings about this subject, deals with people where again and again, he has to go back over the same ground. But the true believer rises each time. He spends less time in the rut, and he comes out. He lifts out of the tram line. He's not held there so long as he was before, and the release comes. But it is a very common experience to go back over the ground again. If you're drawing a picture with a pencil and you make a mistake, don't just rub it out and draw over again, because your pencil will follow the line, the groove in the paper. Before you rub out, before you erase the fault, make sure you put the line correct on the paper. Otherwise, your pencil will follow the old mistake. The question is, will Elijah get out of this rut? Will he break out of this paralysis? Now, what we can't tell in reading the account is the tone in which he said it. Did he say it in the same tone as he did in the first time he went through this experience? Was he defiant first time? Is he more subdued this time? The words are the same. But how he said it and his heart and his approach to God may be different. The truth is, this man is on the way out of his troubles. He will come out. But at the moment, he still gives the impression of being very full of self. Here's the cause of my depression. I'm full of self. I look at what I'm doing. Look at him. I have been very zealous. I have done that. I am the only one. They're trying to kill me. And of course, he sees everything as doom and gloom. They've killed the prophets. Well, that's true. They're trying to kill me. Well, that's true. But it's not the end of God's work. But he's listening to himself. He's not talking to himself. He's not listening to God. He's not thinking. He's not getting his brain in gear. He's thrashing about, looking at his circumstances, fearing Jezebel, and seeing his weakness. My brother and sister, I don't lash you, but I speak to myself and I speak to you. Will you listen to God? Will you look to God? Will you listen to Christ? Will you look to Christ? Will you trust the Spirit of God? Okay, you are weak. Yes. The circumstances are bad. And you feel it. Praise God for that. That's one good thing about Elijah. He's not burying his head in the sand. He's not happy all the day. He does see the covenant of God broken. He does see the law of God in tatters. He does see the rise of the false prophets. He does see the declension of Israel. And he's grieved over it. He is a realist. Praise God for that. Be a realist, brother. Be a realist, sister. But trust. This is the point. Let us learn from Elijah's mistake. He was a weak man. I'm a weak man. You're a weak man. You're a weak woman. Trust in Christ. Rely upon the Spirit of God. Be encouraged by Elijah's experience. Why? Because God used Elijah up to this time, and he's going to use him again, as we shall see, mightily. He's fallen, but he can get up. He can be picked up, and he can rise again, and he can go on. Jonah made terrible mistakes, but he went on and was used of God. Look at Peter. He failed miserably, but still he was used to the conversion of thousands and wrote part of Scripture. Look at Paul. Look at what he was doing, but God used him. Look at David. Look at his sins, but still a mighty man of God. What are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 13. Well, the answer is, Lord, I'm doing nothing. And this is part of the problem. My friend, do something for God today. Do something for Christ today. However small, however feeble. Well, I'm weak. Yes. Well, the circumstances are bad. Yes. It won't amount to much. Quite. We are quite agree. We're all agreed. But still, nevertheless, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might and do it for the glory of God. Let us learn from Elijah here. Not to stand back and say tut, 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 but to be encouraged that such a weak man, such a relapsed man, going over the same ground again, is yet to be used of God. There is hope for me, brother. There is hope for me, sister, and for you. Will you go on today? Will you serve the Lord? It's failed up to now, but will you try again? This is the challenge I see in this passage. What are you doing here, Elijah? I've been this and I've been that, and it's failed and it's no good. You wait and see. There's more to come. The Lord is not finished with you. And the Lord is not finished with us, brother and sister. As long as we have breath and are here, let us live and work for Christ, for the glory of his name. Amen.